WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, welcome to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of May 8th and 9th. We have a really packed program. Key guests coming up. Let's get through some announcements. As is weather, man, this is just prime. This is just prime. I hope we're going to wrap up with some reports. The Marine Digest hard copy is available now at licensing issue agents and tackle shops and sports shops. Shout out to Cindy Kinstner, editor of not only the Marine Digest, Hunting and Trapping Digest, and Freshwater Fishing Digest. Hey, Slick, holding up. Great, great issue. Super job. But Kinstner, you know, I expect no less. The striped bass bonus program is going to kick in next week. Now, applications are still being accepted. Go to njfishandwildlife.com, hit the saltwater fishing link, then go to the bass bonus tag and get all the information there. Hey, check it out. May 10th, starting Monday and running through the week. Yep, one last big dose of trout going out. Yeah, we know we had the massive stocking in March and the first week in April. Well, Division of Fish and Wildlife's Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries, oh, man, Ed Conley up there and that great PQuest crew came up with something like 75,040 extra rainbows held aside. And these things have been growing now the past month or so. Rumor has there may be even more, because that crew, they really pump out the numbers. They're going to be stocked in 17 waters statewide, 17 select waters. Now, in the Rack and Fin Radio listening area, at the top end, I think it's going to be on Monday. As following course, the stocking down here in South Jersey is usually on a Monday. The Manasquan River is going to get 2,080. The North Branch of Matitakong, 680. The South Branch of Matitakong, 1,070. The Toms River, 1,130. And the Toms River Trout Conservation Area, that 1 mile stretch below Riverwood Park to the Route 571 overpass, that's going to get 450. Okay, now they're going to announce on the website, njfishandwildlife.com, go to freshwater fishing, go to trout fishing, they'll have all the information there. The night the waters were stocked that day, okay, ostensibly that's to prevent crowding, you know, the social distancing, all the guys gather around, you know, the stocking holes, et cetera, ad infinitum. But that's the dealio. So 75,000 plus trout going out this week. And I run into guys from South Jersey, up in North Jersey as well, in Central Jersey. That DNR feeder canal. Man, they're gonna load that little sucker up. That's, hey, if you have some youngsters, you want to take them trout fishing, easy access, unfettered casting, and the trout are, you know, happy trout or hungry trout, they are going to be going crazy. Now, also on May 10th, joining us in a later segment will be Carol Stanko, Bureau of Wildlife Management Chief, to talk about, as of May 10th, it will be illegal to possess, sale, or use any natural deer-derived hunting lures, urine, and glandular secretions made with those to stop the spread of chronic wasting disease, to prevent it from getting into New Jersey. Yet another defense, the Division of Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Wildlife Management, is putting up to keep this insidious disease out. I was going to be on talking about the ban and the whys of it and what the division's doing to prevent this spread. And before we get to our first guest, check out Jim Hutchinson Jr.'s editorial, May issue, Editor's Log, Wind Risks. Talks about the windmills, the hundreds of windmills that are being planned, part of the Green New Deal, green energy. Really open your eyes. Really open your eyes on this. Okay, man, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Coming up, segments 2 and 3. Whoa, we have Peter Clark, senior fisheries biologist and artificial reef coordinator. He's going to be giving us the sea bass season prospectus that opens up next week, the 15th. And also, want to key on two reefs that Pete says will knock the snot out of the sea bass. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. If you were like WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station.
Hey, man, next week, finally, it's here. It seems, okay, we know about the drum, and they're really pounding it now. It's going to get even better the next couple of weeks. You know, the gnats are out, and that's a sure hit on that. Striped bass fishing is still good. The blues have arrived. Good numbers of good-sized blues are still coming up. But next week, probably, except for fluke, the most popular opener along the Jersey inshore, seeing the Black Sea Bass. Black Sea Bass season will get open. Will get underway May 15th. This first segment's going to run to June 22nd. That's a few weeks, but it's better than nothing. 10 fish at 12.5 inches. Tompy, how is the sea bass population? Well, the past few years, man, it's been good. But you hear anything from 230 to 238% above, you know, biomass. I mean, really, really strong population. Joining us on the line right now, very special guest, Peter Clark, senior fisheries biologist, New Jersey Bureau of Marine Fisheries, also the artificial reef coordinator, which I will not be correct again, the best artificial reef system in the coastal U.S. I'm going to throw in Alaska and Hawaii on that note. Sorry, Peter, I had to get you on that one, brother. How you doing?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
Did I cover it or did I cover it, man?
you covered it. That's right.
Pete, let's...
Best in the world.
Okay, correct it again. Best in the world.
Best in the galaxy.
The constellations, we have it. The best artificial reef system. Pete, to the sea bass, except for the fluke, probably the most... Tom's a little close, but it's a little more specified. Sea bass are just easy to catch and great eating. Probably the most popular next to fluke, correct, when it comes to rod and reeling?
Yeah, I would agree with that, Tom. You know, our anglers in New Jersey absolutely love sea bass and fluke. And like you mentioned, we're about to open wide with sea bass on the 15th. It's a really exciting time. It's, you know, for me, it marks sort of the start of the whole fishing season. You do a little togging this past April, but Right. Boy, like you said, sea bass, they're prolific. They're all over the reefs. They're all over structure. You know, it's just a fun species to go looking for.
Now, Pete, the population, the biomass is healthy, is it not, or even beyond healthy? It seems that they're as one guy used to say, they're eating the paint off the bottom of the boats. They are plentiful, yeah. Correct?
Yeah, so right now we're looking pretty good. You know, we're in pretty good shape. Sea bass are a really cool fish. So they range from Maine to Florida. The focus area is really Massachusetts and North Carolina. Lucky for New Jersey, we fall right in the middle of that.
Bingo.
We've got one of the healthiest populations of sea bass on the East Coast.
Pete, habitat, water quality, environment, everything seems to come together with the sea bass, correct?
Yeah, man. I mean, off of New Jersey, you've got perfect, ideal conditions for sea bass. The good news is that these sea bass, they usually spawn they're in the spring and the summer, they come into these inshore waters in 120 feet or less. That's perfect for us. Mm-hmm. Right. So now they're right in our wheelhouse. We're ready to catch them. You know, they've got a really cool life history. They start out, believe it or not, all of them start out as females. Okay.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy. They all start out as females, then they change sex to males when they're about, you know, 9 to 13 inches, 2 to 5 years old. About 38% of the population will change from females to males. And
wow.
As males are taken out of that local population, another one will come in and fill its spot, you know. I mean, it's just a really cool survival strategy for a population or species of fish. Amazing.
It is, Pete. Now, the knuckleheads, that pronounced bump on the forehead, and, you know, in the bigger fish, the 15, 16
yep.
inches and up, that's what? That's just...
Those big knuckleheads are... Those are the dominant males in that local school of fish. And when you remove those, there's other males also in that school or in that body of fish, but they're not going to have that pronounced, you know, knucklehead or mm-hmm. that big blue purple head. When that dominant male is removed, another male will come up and become the dominant male. So they start filling in the gaps as needed. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that these fish are in such great shape. We did our last stock assessment in 2019. And the good news is that it showed that this population isn't overfished and overfishing is not occurring. As you know, this is a joint managed species by the ASNOC,
right.
The Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission mm-hmm. and the Mid-Atlantic Fisheries Management Council. And we've actually got another stock assessment coming up in this year. I think it starts sometime next month. You know, the last one that we did, showed that the recruitment of the 2017 year class was a little bit lower than the time series average. The good news is, though, that the 2011 year class was, and just to put this into perspective, so the 2011 year class was the highest we've ever seen. It was 144 million pounds of new fish coming in. Now, in 2015, it dropped a little bit. It was about 80 million. In 2017, we're at 16 million, and that means that that's not the end of the world, because our spawning stock biomass, the fish that add new fish to the population every year, is at 100 million fish. Okay, so we're looking at 100 million fish for spawning stock biomass. Our target is about 60, so we're almost double what our target is for number of individuals adding to the population every year. So, you know, I think we're in really good shape. Yeah. We're definitely, the things are looking bright for sea bass and for anglers off of New Jersey.
Well, Pete, at the risk of getting a little esoteric here, what would cause, I mean, it's two small drops, like you said, 100 mil, we're doing great, we're doing fantastic, sea bass are kicking ass, but what would cause those periodic reductions, those drops?
It could be anything. It could be a bad winter. It could be a good, like a mild winter. I mean, there's a lot of variables that go into this. It could be, you know, ocean currents didn't, you know, weren't preferable that year. So the cyclical nature that we see, especially with this super robust, you said, population estimates are through the roof. We're at 2.4 times the biomass target. Like, these are really good signs, and when we, you know, when we see these cycles, it's not a, we don't need to have a knee-jerk reaction here, right? So that's why things have been so status quo for so long, because we see these cycles, but we don't want to pull the plug on it. It might go back up, you know. So see what happens at the end of this year here when we get our stock assessment results.
Okay, well, Pete, one last question before we're up against a hard break, if you can believe that. The population with what they are, the bag limits seem to remain status quo. Again, the reason behind it, bringing it up to 12 fish at 12.5 inches, and instead of two fish at 12.5 inches starting in July, why not three fish? It seems the population could stand that added recreational angling pressure and not be damaged.
You're absolutely right. So it seems that we could probably, what's called, we could liberalize our measures. However, there is a benefit to keeping things status quo for right now. So while we're in years of transition, in other words, we're doing a stock assessment, we're updating our recreational estimates, we're reconfiguring the way that we collect those recreational estimates.
Fair enough.
You have several years of measures that are the same, you can really start comparing them. In other words, if you changed from 12.5 inches, you made it 13.5 inch minimum size, and you went from 10 fish to 20 fish, or vice versa, you go the other way to 5 fish, that change doesn't give you a very accurate or as accurate of a measure of the population effects, right? So by keeping these measures status quo, and let's be honest, maybe they're not ideal in yours and my eyes or in an angler's eyes, but they're pretty darn good. You know, most people aren't complaining terribly about our measures right now in New Jersey.
Agreed.
Do better? You know, we'll discuss that. We'll discuss how we gap fill some of these, you know, like the season that ends on June 22nd and then it picks back up. We'll figure out how to gap fill that for the next coming year once we have the opportunity to do so.
Okay, fair enough. We're speaking with Pete Clark. He is Senior Fisheries Biologist, New Jersey Bureau of Marine Fisheries, and also the Artificial Reef Coordinator for the Jersey Shore, which is the greatest reef system in the universe, according to Pete Clark. Let it rock. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. We're going to talk a couple of reefs with Pete Clark, man, that are hot, prime, inferno. for sea bass. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, Talk Radio 95.5.
This is how you get a premium cup of coffee. Better and faster than the drip, drip, drip method. And way better than a large urn of lukewarm coffee made who knows when. At Royal Farms, our new Swiss-made coffee machines grind fresh, premium beans on the spot and then brew them one cup at a time for the freshest, most flavorful cup of premium coffee you can buy. This is Royal Farms coffee. It's better because it's the freshest coffee in the world. Real fresh, real fast. Royal Farms.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go. Look out below. You're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of May 8th and 9th. Joining us online is Peter Clark, Senior Fisheries Biologist, New Jersey Bureau of Marine Fisheries, and the Artificial Reef Coordinator for the Jersey. I'm telling you, we have just, I could do a whole month, maybe 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 2 months worth of shows just on the reef system, how incredible it is, and all the deployments that are down there, but time does not allow that. Editorial time certainly does not allow that. But I want to key on two reefs with Pete. The Atlantic City Reef, 4 square miles, and the Cape May Reef. I didn't get too crazy on it. Just talking about some structure and how great these are for sea bass. But before we get to that, Pete had mentioned off the air, I mean, last year was a COVID year. No data was collected. And it seems the Bureau of Marine Fisheries, insofar as, again, liberalizing a sea bass summit or tweaking it, you seem to be handcuffed by the ASMFC, correct?
Well, so right now the ASMFC has us at a status quo for both sea bass and fluke.
Right.
And to be honest with you, Tom, that's a lot better than the alternative, which is take a reduction, right? We've all gone through these reduction years. They're terrible.
Oh, yeah.
So if I got to stay at status quo this year with the possibility, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but a possibility of making a change, right, then I'm happy with that. At least it gives us the ability to look at things moving forward, figure out a way, really, because, right, fluke and sea bass are coupled. They're, it's two fisheries that occur not simultaneously, but somewhat together.
Sure.
That's why we have that two fish in the summertime in July and August of sea bass. It gives you another opportunity to bring home some meat when you're out fluke fishing. And that's what I mean. So if you've got these fisheries that are being prosecuted somewhat together, let's figure out how to gap fill closures and openings and size limits and bag limits. And that's really what the Bureau has been working on. We've got an advisory committee that we've been presenting different ideas to. And we got some traction here, Tom. Things are looking bright for the fishermen here.
Excellent. We're speaking with Pete Clark, again, Artificial Reef Coordinator, New Jersey Bureau of Marine Fisheries, also a senior biologist. Talking about sea bass season is going to open up next week. Pete, let's get to, we want to just key on these two reefs for now. We're going to have you back again. We know we're going to cover more reefs. But the AC Reef, we're talking 4 square miles, and it is loaded with, you guys deployed clam dredges, tankers, tugboats. It's loaded with prime sea bass structure. Would you say this is one of the best reefs in this area for the sea bass?
Yeah, I was actually just going to say that. This is one of my favorite reefs. So Atlantic City, we've got 17 reefs off the coast of New Jersey. Out of those 17 reefs, we've done over 4,400 deployments. And that's not just one concrete brick. I mean, we're talking about tons. A deployment is 3,000 tons in some cases. We're talking about 200 reef balls is one deployment. So we've got over 4,400 deployments off the coast of New Jersey. Atlantic City Reef has got, I believe, let me see, over 185 deployments on Atlantic City Reef alone.
Okay.
It's 8.5 nautical miles off the beach, 4 square miles in area, and goes from 55 to 94 feet in depth. talk about a dynamic reef. I mean, you can fish all sorts of things on one single area. Fantastic reef, Tom. It really is. It's exciting over there. So some of our most recent, you were talking about the Redbird subway cars. I mean, you know, we've got like 80 subway cars on that reef. We've got tugboats. We got some big stuff on that reef as well. We've got 122-foot clam dredges, 265-foot tankers. The reason I'm saying this is because we got Seabass opening up on the 15th. Seabass love vertical structure. Seabass love that depth range that we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Get out in the boat. Go find some of these spots on Atlantic City Reef. We just put two new things down there, relatively new. One was in 2016, so I guess it's not that brand new, but it's called the Richard Reina. It's a 90-foot tugboat. It comes about 25 feet up off the bottom. And then we've got, ready for this, we've got the William King. That was a memorial dedicated to a former reef coordinator, Bill Figley. It's a 160-foot long caisson gate.
Whoa.
The thing is, yeah, it's huge. It's 35 feet tall and 25 feet wide.
Oh, man.
Imagine a barge sitting on its side. That's what we're talking about. And when you want to talk about vertical structure, man, that is the spot. I fished out there. We put it down in 2019. I fished out there about a year, I don't know, eight, 9 months ago. It was lights out already. It's a great reef, a great piece of structure. Go out there, guys. Find your spot. Find the highest vertical piece you can and start banging away. You're going to have sea bass on it.
And Pete, also, there's a great, and also the same with the Cape May Reef listeners. We're going to get into in a minute, but a great drift fishing area in there too, Pete, for fluke and sea bass. I mean, we caught sea bass on the drift plenty of times.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, and again, that's what Bill Figley, his intention was to create these patch areas where you could drift through and, you know, not get hung up every right. couple of seconds and hit plenty of structure on one single drift. So, yeah, I mean, he had a lot of forethought going into this reef when he was designing it.
Okay, now, Pete, to the Cape May Reef, 4.5 square miles. Correct me if I'm wrong, Peter Clark, but this is the largest reef in the system, correct, area-wise?
Yes, it is, Tom. Yep, it's one of our biggest. It's, eight and a half miles off of Cape May. It's got another great depth range, 50-foot to 73-foot. It's a dynamic reef. One of the reasons that this reef is so great is because of its proximity to Delaware Bay. So the effluent coming out of, the tidal coming right. in and out of that Delaware Bay just makes this an incredibly productive site. We've got, 292 deployments. It's over that, about 296 deployments on Cape May Reef alone. Some fantastic stuff. Now, this is even a surprise for you, Tom. I never told you about this, but we've got about 30 piles of brand new rock.
Oh.
I deployed them in 2018.
Oh.
All right. And they're about 3,000 tons apiece. They range from anything from 8 to about 12 foot in profile, so coming up off the bottom. We haven't published any of those numbers yet. They're coming out. I'm working on a new reef guide, Tom. I don't know if I told you that. We're going to have hundreds of new coordinates on this new reef guide, and including some of these. So if guys are looking for some early season sea bass spots, go find these piles of dredge rock. They are absolutely amazing. The dredge rock, some of these pieces are as big as a Volkswagen bus, you know?
Yep.
So go out and find them. We've also got a caisson gate that we deployed, another caisson gate about the same size as the one that went down on Atlantic City. We put that down on September of 2019. It's, again, just a fantastic spot. It was sponsored by Cape May Party and Charter Boat Association and the Annie Clark SportFishingFund.org. Unbelievable piece of structure again.
And Pete, again, also on the Cape May Reef, the 205-foot tanker, 85-foot tug, 165-foot tanker barge. Speaking of tanks, you have tanks on there as well. I know we talk about how Todd loves tanks. So do sea bass. We've caught them on a tank search, yes, too, Pete. So these two reefs in particular, they're all good. They're all going to, listen, they're all going to have sea bass on them. Go to njfishandwildlife.com, hit the fishing link, go to saltwater, then go to artificial reef. There's the listing right there with all the specifics. And Pete said there's a new reef guide coming out. Find about the reefs. But these two, the AC Reef and Cape May Reef, get there, especially, Pete. Although they're going to be productive. Fish get caught, other fish move in. There's that many sea bass. First week in particular, Pete, of the season, there's going to be some honkers, knuckleheads, biscuits, whatever you want to call them, big-ass sea bass coming off these structures.
Absolutely, without a doubt. They're already all over the reefs right now. We just can't go keep them. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just gonna keep winding up all spring and into the early summer, into June. But certainly one of my favorite fisheries. There's without a doubt. You know, you get some clams. You go out there and jigging for them is fantastic as well.
Yep.
Don't put away your jigging rods. So keep that thing out and jig for these things. That's where you're going to find, at least for me, when I jig for them, that's where I'm finding those bigger fish. So
absolutely. Yeah. Pete Clark, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin Radio. Listeners, Pete Clark, he's the artificial reef coordinator. Sorry, I'm too excited here. New Jersey Bureau of Marine Fisheries, also a senior fisheries biologist, talking about the Cape May and the Atlantic City reefs. And we touched in the prior segment on the status of the sea bass population. There are a lot of sea bass. It's going to be primo fishing. I'd say, Pete, best the entire range. What'd you say, Massachusetts, North Carolina? Jersey's going to kick sea bass ass, yep, yet again, Pete.
Yep. Yeah, we certainly had it. We got a, what's nice about New Jersey, Tom, is we have a very long sea bass season. When it starts on May 15th and goes all the way to the end of the year, you can really bang on them all over the state.
Absolutely. Pete, really, thanks for joining us. Hey, by the way, will you? I know you're jamming, slamming, otherwise cramming deployments and paperwork and studies and all, but will you get a chance to actually get out and fish yourself more than once?
I hope so. Yeah, I'll do my best, Tom.
Okay, Pete, we'll see you on the water, man. Be good. Thanks again.
I'll catch you later. Thank you.
See you. Up against a break, that was Peter Clark. Great guy. Hell of a fisherman, too. It's the artificial reef system in Jersey. Kicks ass. AC Reef, Cape May Reef, getting it done for sea bass. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's number one talk station.
Fox News, I'm Jill Nato. For the first time in history, California's population has declined.
California's population now just under 39.5 million. State officials blame the loss on a declining birth rate, reductions in immigration, and an increase in deaths because of the coronavirus, which killed 51,000 people there in 2020. John Saucier, Fox News.
A 23-ton chunk of Chinese space debris careening towards Earth. The Center for Orbital Reentry and Debris Study predicts it's going to hit Earth this weekend. NASA's new administrator and former Senator Bill Nelson says he's complained about space junk for years.
This senator was on the floor of the Senate raising Cain about it because of the obvious threat.
It's not known where that chunk may fall. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Cloudy sky overnight along with a couple of showers, a low of 49. And we'll see a few showers Saturday. Rather cloudy, cool, high 59. Clearing Saturday night, low 43. Sunday, we'll have some sunshine to start and then clouding up with a couple of showers by the end of the afternoon, a high 61. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Dave Bowers on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Now that was Captain Peter Clark, man. We're talking sea bass next week. He has it dialed in, man. He is that Cape May Reef and AC Reef. Oh, man, you're going to fill the live well, fill the buckets, et cetera. Hey, let's get back to the hunting front. Very important announcement. Division of Fish and Wildlife last week, and it's going to come into effect this Monday, the 10th. Has to do with deer hunting. Or, more specifically, the use of natural deer urine or glandular secretion scent. Okay, going to be banned, the possession, the sale, the use. I think even if you think about it, you know, you might get in trouble. Join us on the line right now. Again, this is a very serious note regarding, again, chronic wasting disease, the spread. It seems to be, you know, to our west in Pensy somewhere. It hasn't progressed much farther than that, we hope, fingers crossed. But join us on the line is Division of Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Wildlife Management Chief Carol Stanko, frequent guest, and we can lock her down on Rack and Fin Radio to talk about the ban, the whys, and the timetable, and what it holds for the future. Carol, thanks for joining us this morning. How are you?
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. This is an important topic, and I'm happy to discuss it.
Yeah, Carol, I'll tell you, just at the risk of it, well, we're in the Tom P. parallel universe now. A lot of asses were in the air, Carol, about this. And I said, didn't you see this coming? A couple other guys, didn't you see this coming? Carol, I spoke with a guy at a tackle shop the other day, enthusiastic deer hunter, got his first bear this year up there in Morris County, or last year, rather, I should say. I said, what do you think about the ban on the deer scent? You know, natural. He said, what are you talking about, man? I mean, didn't have any idea about it. And I'm thinking, Carol, that's one of the, I don't say issues, it's a problem. That's one of the problems out there I see progressing, is that not a lot of people are aware of this just yet. Now, it goes into effect Monday. What was the timetable? Getting this thing out as soon as possible, what was the deal?
Well, we've been actually discussing this for the past 3 years. We've been trying to get it through as an amendment to the game code. And before people say, why didn't you ask hunters' opinions and why didn't we have a chance to weigh in? You do. It's been discussed at open public meetings of the Fish and Game Council. We've been working with the New Jersey Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs, so it's been discussed at their meetings. We have to go through the rulemaking process for mm-hmm. this. So these proposals get posted online. There's a, this year it was virtual, a public meeting for opinions on the amendments. There's also a 60-day comment period. All of this gets weighed into it. So there was ample public opportunity to weigh in, but you just need to be part of the process. So that's why I encourage everybody to sign up for our listserv, New Jersey Division of Fish and Wildlife listserv, so you know that this stuff is coming, or to join the New Jersey Federation of mm-hmm. Sportsmen's Clubs. So, so it was published on the 5th, so it becomes law on the 10th, and we're trying to get the word out as far ahead of the season as possible so that folks know about it. We've already sent that notification to retailers on it, and we're trying our best to get the word out. It's all over our website as well.
Okay, this is njfishandwildlife.com. Well, Chief Stanko, playing the devil's advocate and listening to some people who are also in the business, okay, full disclosure about that, that no matter what the comments were, when it comes down to CWD, like COVID, whatever, it was going to happen like it happened in the other states, Virginia, I guess New Hampshire, whatever. It was inevitable. That's BS, Tom P., about that input. That wouldn't have made a goddamn bit of difference. This is what I'm hearing, verbatim, Carol, verbatim. So, again, as critical as chronic wasting disease is, trying to prevent it, I mean, not to put you on the spot, I think this was going to be a go from the get-go, no matter the input.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned other states, because I did an informal survey across the nation last year, and it turns out that at that time, 18 states and Canadian provinces have banned urine lure usage, yep. and several other states are considering it. So it's becoming somewhat of the new norm.
Sure.
We don't have it in New Jersey. We don't want it in New Jersey. Once you get it, you can never get rid of it. And that's why it's so important for us to keep it out. And that's why we are doing this. You know, everyone's saying, show me the science. Well, there's no science in either direction. In other words, there's no science proving it can't happen either. So we know that the causative agent for CWD is a prion, and it is found in all bodily fluids of deer. Mm-hmm. No exposure is acceptable. So there is no safe dose of prion. And like I said, once it's here forever. It persists in the soil, where it will continue to infect healthy deer and it's taken up as plants by plants as well. Mm. So we're just trying to keep our deer herd safe and healthy, because in states that have had it for a long time, like Colorado, they are seeing significant declines in their cervid populations, not just deer. You know, they have muleys and moose and elk. Yeah. So we don't want that to happen here. And we need the help of the sportsmen and women to keep it out.
Well, listen, again, as a chronic wasting disease, CWD, a very insidious disease infection. Once again, as Chief Stanko said, once it's there, it's there. Well, Carol, what preventive measures has the Division of Fish and Wildlife taken over the past few years to prevent? I mean, doing a good job. Evidently, it's not here. Although some say, oh, Tom P., it's been here, blah, 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 blah. Well, again, show me the evidence. And I haven't seen any, like, the Division stock coyotes in cahoots with the insurance company. Oh, my $1,000 bet's still out there. I've had no takers. A lot of guys know people who knew people who saw it. A truck stopped on Route 9. Okay, don't get me, guys. Okay, a little non sequitur there.
Great urban legends, right. Yes.
But Carol, what has the division done so far?
Yeah, so we have been testing for CWD since 1998. We test hunter-harvested deer every year. We collect heads from game butchers throughout the states, and we test mm-hmm. them. We also test any symptomatic captive cervids. We don't have a lot, thankfully, in the state of New Jersey, but we do test the few that we have. And to date, no positives. I want to circle back to something. Folks are saying it's okay to use urine from certified herds. And that is definitely not the case. In Pennsylvania alone, there have found CWD in 10 certified herds there to date. So we are erring on the side of caution.
Sure.
We don't want it here. What we've done is we've banned the importation of live cervids since, I think, 2002. Mm-hmm. We just codified it in this game code. Another thing that hunters are not going to be happy about is we are banning the importation of whole carcasses from any place. So folks are going to have to bone out your meat in the field if you're hunting in Pennsylvania, especially in Pennsylvania, since it's rife there, and any other state, bone it out. Don't bring back an intact head either. Only make sure it's a clean skull cap or a clean antlers or a taxidermied head. You can bring back buglers and stuff like that. And we're asking you just to bring back bone meat and nothing from the spinal column, that kind of thing, where prions seem to accumulate more heavily.
Okay, join us online is Division of Fish and Wildlife Bureau of Wildlife Management Chief Carol Stanko. Topic is, it goes into effect on Monday, May 10th. The you can't own, you can't possess, sell, use any deer-derived hunting lures, any urine or glandular secretions, anything natural. Yeah, that is to stop, ostensibly to stop the spread of CWD. It hasn't been to Jersey. Carol, it seems to be blocked right a certain distance, you know, out from the border. How far east has it progressed in Pennsy, do you know?
It's too close for comfort for me. It's in Lancaster County.
Ooh.
So as the crow flies, that's not a long way. We have a nice big river between us, but my fear is that it's going to be spread by humans and not, you know, deer migrating into New Jersey as much. So people hunting in Pennsylvania and bringing parts over and butchering it and dumping it in the woods, things like that. We just have to be really, really careful.
Okay, Carol, I texted it to you, but again, as this came to my attention, this was out, I guess, the end of April. And I'm just, once you read it, you'll see it, and maybe we can get you back online to talk about it. I know it's not going to happen anyway because there is a ban, but there's a company at Inventive Outdoors, Carol, that claims its products are CWD-free. And that says their attractants are not cervid urine based, so there's no risk of spreading CWD prions through its use. Now, but it's not a synthetic. It says it is urine based. I'm reading it. I'm no chemist.
Okay,
trust
well,
me on that.
That.
What's
be,
that all about?
If it's not cervid based, that and the cervid is any member of the deer family, any member, not just whitetails. Mm-hmm. If it's not cervid based, it can be used. You can use urine from other species, just not anything in the deer family that is known to carry the prion.
Okay, here's a kicker right here. CWD-free is the only uppercase effective real urine attractant that is legal in states that allow scent attractants but have banned cervid urine. So there's a little kicker right there. Okay, again, it's affecting a lot of people. not a lot, but again, there's more people become aware of it. But again, I was sort of surprised. This guy, Avid Hunter, had no idea what was going on. So hope the division can keep getting that word out there. So you said you're trying, so it's good.
It's understandable that he hasn't heard about it yet because it is so new. We just put out an announcement last week. So it takes a while to trickle down. Of course, this will all be in the digest.
Right.
And hopefully in late August, early September, when everybody reads that. And we will be sending out information on the listserv, and it'll be on our website. But those hunters that aren't connected in any way, it's kind of hard to reach you guys. So please, join up. Join the listserv. Join the Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs.
Other than, again, this ban, what else can be done to, like I said, and what the division's doing, boned out meat, et cetera. What else can be done to stop what many people say is going to be inevitable spread?
Well,
I don't know. Man. You see, if you cover all bases now.
Yeah, we're trying to cover all bases. We've also banned the importation of deer semen, if you can believe that, for captive herds, because, again, bodily fluid. So not that we have a lot of captive herds here, but we don't want to take that risk. We're doing everything we possibly can. A lot of people don't agree with it, but like I said, once it's here, you can't unscramble that egg. So,
got it.
Let's keep our deer safe.
Okay, Carol, thanks for joining us on the Rack of Fin Radio line. Let's just go to njfishandwildlife.com. There's information, press release on the website itself. And again, it's going to be in the digest. Have any questions, man, give the division a call. This is very important. It's some guys saying they're killing my business or it's affecting this. Some retailers are bitching and moaning, but there are alternatives out there. So we shall see.
And that's why we put the announcement out this early. We understand that retailers are thinking about restocking for the fall now and possibly ordering. And this way they can change their orders to synthetic lures or other natural non-deer derived lures.
Okay, I don't see really impacting hunter success. I mean, the science in the synthetics is really progressing so far. I mean, it's going to be pretty much close to the real thing. I mean, wow.
Yeah. I mean, the division distributed several cases of synthetic lures to the council of the Federation a couple of years ago just to get them to try it out. And they were all very pleased with it. So
there you go.
They work.
Well, Carol, you have a great springtime, young lady. Hey, ho, ho, ho. Has the bike been out on a few beautiful days we've had?
You betcha.
Oh, yeah. Listen, this lady on a bike. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Carol, you take care. Have a great spring and summer. Hope to see you soon.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, go to njfishandwildlife.com for more information on that. Okay, be right back with some fishing reports. Yeah, we have a few minutes. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
So what is Talk with a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk with a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk with a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Comfort Now by Bob McAllister, because you deserve Comfort Now.
Hi, Comfort Bob. Getting ready for summer and thinking about replacing your air conditioner? Hurry. Have you tried to buy an appliance, a bike, new faucet? Nothing is guaranteed anymore. For the past year, Mitsubishi Electric Cooling and Heating and every other manufacturer have experienced COVID shutdowns and longer assembly lines to produce the product. Jack and Jenny can't stand right next to each other anymore. If you're looking for the new air conditioner, do not wait. We have most Mitsubishi Electric products available now, but we expect shortages to start in the next 30 days. We have rebates and financing available, and most importantly, we have Mitsubishi Electric cooling and heating products in stock. Call us today, 609-400-1005, because you deserve Comfort Now.
Comfort Now by Bob McAllister, because you deserve Comfort Now. 609-400-1005.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of May 8th and 9th. Let's wrap it up with some reports. Going to Hands to Bait and Tackle and Kate May right now with Nick. Nick, let's talk drum, weak fish, blues. What is happening, little brother?
Hey, we got some guys out there hitting our local jetties. They're throwing some bloodworms. They're picking up some nice weak fish as well as some nice stripers. And then some our boaters are going up the Delaware Bay, you know, some of those old honey holes they used to hit years ago. and starting to find some of them spike weak fish. The drum bite's really starting to heat up. We got guys coming back with like 4 or 5 fish per boat.
Nice.
Seems like being about that 40 to 60 pound class range. About the local spots, same areas they're getting them last year. Some guys are starting to head out in a little bit of deeper water.
Okay.
You know, these fish are big enough, you're going to mark them. So I tell people, you know, go to the small spots and, you know, start heading out offshore a little bit.
Nice. What about bass? Anything at night around?
Yeah, my beach guys are crushing it. Everybody's coming back with fish.
You gotta love that.
Fresh bunker in the bay. We got clams out front. My boaters are going into skinny waters up the bay and tomahawking some nice big bass. The only problem is we can't find any that are keeper size. They're all too big.
Right. Isn't that ironic? That is so ironic. We're talking to Nick down at Hans Tooth Bait and Tackle in Cape May. Nick, before I let you go, back to the weak fish off the jetties. Whole bloodworms under a bobber or float?
Yes, that's the old Cape May style.
I love it.
It always
man.
Works down here.
Yep. I love it, man. That's just see that float slip under. Boom, man. I got to love it. Okay, man, do me a favor.
Give me your shedder oil.
Oh, yeah, the shedder oil. Do me a favor. Give me that phone number, please, and address. Go.
609-884-2248. We're at 970 Route 109, Cape May, New Jersey.
Okay, Nick, I'll see you this week. Take care, brother.
Thank you.
Let's jump up to Fanatics on West Avenue in Ocean City, New Jersey's most favorite family resort. Tell you, still one of my favorite fishing spots down here for almost, 24 years? Joining us is Billy Wiggins from Fanatics. Go, Billy, what's happening?
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Woo! Billy, it's May. Oh, my God.
It's fishing season, man.
Everything is going on, Bill. Everything is happening now. I understand Ocean City area in the back front. You guys have some activity going on now. Also, Bill, I want to talk next week's opener at Ocean City Reef and some other reefs in your area. Supposedly loaded up with sea bass.
Yeah, it actually has been. Guys, we're doing preliminary spots and doing pretty good. I have a feeling we're going to have a really good boom and run here of sea bass to start the season.
Billy, you going to be able? How's the clam situation, bro?
It's touch and go.
Okay, yeah, that's
some days good, some days not. Depends on whatever we can do, I guess. It's
to be expected.
Tough to get fresh, that's for sure. Yeah.
Well, Billy, the sea bass are like me. They eat anything, man. So salted clam season work for them in a
like
pinch.
Squid, too. So, sometimes works pretty well, too.
Hey, Billy, also now in the back, before I get you going, what's happening down in the inlets and along the beach? In the back, what do we have?
Striper fishing this spring here has been unbelievable. I've seen more big fish than I've seen in a lot of years down here. We're actually got a big jump in size class this year, too. You know, last couple of years, it seems we have really small ones or really big ones.
Right.
I'm seeing a big mix of fish this year, which is a good sign. I'm seeing, 30-some-inch fish, late 20s, early teens.
Beautiful.
You know,
good
40-inch fish. The biggest I've heard of so far is about 53. And they all seem to be in the bayside.
Wow.
Not that many big fish in the surf yet.
Billy, what are they chasing in the back? Bunker, herring, what?
There's been a lot of herring, actually, moving out of the rivers, and I think that's what those big fish are keying on.
Herring, daring, do. Now, Billy, some lights again over that Parkway Bridge that I'm coming up from Cape May, actually from Rio Grande. Those lights right there. Weak fish or bass guys, you think?
There's been more bass guys in there.
Okay.
Weak fish seem to be more a little further south. More Avalon Corsons, and it's, it's typical hush-hush. You don't get a lot of reports on that stuff, but there, I have seen pictures of some.
Hey, Billy, what are we hearing along the beaches before I let you go, bro?
I've heard some small bass in the surf, and I've heard some kingfish starting already, so that's good to see.
I was just going to ask you. I heard some reports earlier this week about the Royals. No bleep.
Yep. Not a ton yet, but I actually have heard a few of them. The pier here in Ocean City is starting to catch a few, plus a lot of stripers taken from that pier, too. They got the extension on there this year, so a little further out, so they're seeing some more fish.
I like it, Billy, and, too, some tog out there from Ocean City Longport area, man. There's some tog by those bridges, man. It was crazy during April.
Shame that the season closed because, man, you could go catch them pretty good right down the bay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Billy. Yeah, by the way, how are Chrissy and the kids? Everything good?
Everybody's doing great.
Question, Wiggins, when will you get out to fish, bro? Uh-oh.
That's good. Well, the tunas start going to start real soon. I already got a couple of lined up trips, I think, that if those tuna are around, I'm going
to Billy, I talked to a guy yesterday, took his boat from Raritan Bay down to Manasquan Inlet, a couple of miles off the beach, had tuna all over the place on the bunker.
I believe that.
Yeah, it's
that time of the year. It's definitely that time of the year.
Bluefin sushi time. Okay, Billy, talk to you next week, brother. Be good.
Okay, take care.
And he is on the water right now, Captain Dave, the Rave Show, Lipsinga Bay Sports and Center, 82 Natalie Terrace at Lipsinga. Put a call into the shop, Slammer Ray Slammer. Shout out to Slammer Ray. He rocks, he rolls, he's the man. He says, Captain Dave is on the water, and I hear he's doing something with the bass. How you doing, Dave? What's up?
Oh, I'm loving it. Casting to the banks. We're throwing these gulps right at the banks. And, well, not a blitz, but we've had a nice pick since sunrise. And, well, we got five or six to the boat and got a 29-inch fat keeper in here. So
nice.
So we're working on a heck of a good day.
Well, Captain Dave, on the gulp, man. Don't be shy. Color and form. What do you got?
Well, a couple of them have come on that Nemesis in that Fire Tiger collar, and you can't get no brighter than that.
Yeah. Oh.
And I've been using the new Gulf paddle tails, and I think it was the Chartreuse Pepper Neon at the Keeper 8, and we got the crew number 3. He's had a couple on the 5-incher, so. They're right now. These paddle tails have joined the Nemesis as my favorite. And
wow.
And if it ain't chartreuse, it ain't no use. So you mix up that orange and chartreuse, and you get a heck of a heck of a color there.
I call it orangeade. Hey Cap, I'll tell you, for you to have something tied with the Nemesis, listen, that must be one hell of a productive.
We got a
bait.
Fish one right now.
Oh, there he goes. Okay, Cap, I'll talk to you later, man.
Yeah, we were snagged on a bank, and then my second crew decided to catch a fish. So we're in good shape. It's going to be a great day.
Dave,
before
I let you go real fast, what are you hearing about bluefish?
Yesterday, we had one little tiny one eat an eel's tail, and we ain't lost no tails. The nighttime jetty crews are getting a few, but they ain't really killing them. So
okay.
I don't know. They're due to come in.
Okay,
we'll
I'll see you next week.
Nice fish. I got to get the net off.
Go. Let's wrap it up. We're going to jump down a little bit to Sea Owl, Mike Cunningham. Sea Owl Bait and Tackle there in Fish Alley. Mikey, what's going on, brother?
What's happening, Tom? How's everything going this morning?
I'm on the top end still doing, Mike, I'm pulling my hair out. Fresh salt and now turkeys this week. Ow.
Well, I got to tell you, it's been another good week of fishing down here. I'm still seeing great numbers of stripers. Again, more unders than overs, but still seeing great numbers of stripers, and that weak fish bite continues to be real good.
Nice. Mike, strictly a nighttime bite for the weeks or daytime mixed in?
When it's quiet, dawn and dusk have been the best. They're getting some during the day, they're getting some at night, but dawn and dusk, quiet times, not a lot of boat traffic, that's been the best time to get them.
Okay, Mike, bluefish, what do you have?
Some. Okay. Small ones. Those bigger ones are north, right. Surf City up that way. Down here, we're getting more of that, like, cocktail tailor size, 1 to 2 pounds.
Good eating.
So we're seeing them, but it's not a lot, not great numbers.
Hey, Mike.
Still mostly stripers and weakies.
Before I let you go, you have the Townsend Inlet Reef right there, and areas close, a lot of structure there. How does it augur now for the opening of sea bass season?
I think it's going to be great. Talking to some of the commercial guys, they've seen a lot of fish movement over the past 2 weeks.
Great.
Moving north and inshore. I think when this sea bass season opens, we're going to be looking at a real good early season.
Good for you. Okay, Mike, we'll see you this week, brother. Be good.
Have a good one.
That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Get out and enjoy. A little bit of rain here, a little bit of rain there. So what? The fish are already wet. Turkey season's on. Trout men are kicking in, stocking next week. Monday through Friday, those area waters I mentioned right there, the Batiteconk, north and south branches, the Toms, and a little bit north of Manasquan. Load it up. Get out there and enjoy. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.
95.5 FM and